just like Jakub got his idea together and used predictions to bring about his plan, I've got my idea together and I'm going to use the predictions to bring about my plan. I'm going to predict that this baby is going to be a boy. If it be a girl, well, hell, the way I've been teaching them, I can easily interpret it. It'll still look like a boy to them after I explain it. But if it's a boy, look how powerful my plan will be. And it was a boy. That was me. And he said, name him after me. Say he will grow up in this city. That's what he told the parents. Say, and he will follow his father and take over his father's work. That's what he told the parents. They train him because he will be the next one. Now I was told this when I was a little boy. But all Elijah Muhammad in his grown-up years, he told the public, no, no success after me. Is that right? He had to do that. When people are looking at you getting old and want to see you sit down or want to put somebody else in your place, if you start pointing out successes, they'll hurry up and get you in the ground. He was wise, say, no, no successor, this is the end of it. If you kill me or hurry up my life, send me over in the grave, you're going to have a problem. You can't handle this mess. You better keep me around. Ain't nobody coming behind me. All right. Get them at any cost, he said. No matter what the price is. At any cost means tell a lie if you have to. Trick them if you have to. Well, that's what he preached. He told his ministers, get these people into this temple at any cost. That was the philosophy of Master Farah. You know, they asked me in these interviews, what is the philosophy? I can't tell you what the philosophy is before the public, man. Things like this ought to be told in privacy and let it gradually ooze out in the public. So he named me, gave me his name, and said that I would be a successor, succeed my father. All right, said he will be a great helper to you. And he also told my mother that I would succeed my father. He didn't tell my father this. But he told my mother, and my mother told me, and that it was just understood in the family, that I would be the next one. Now, hear my brother Emmanuel now, the oldest one. Did you ever think that anybody else would see except me? No. I mean, and I didn't even know. Believe me, how come you didn't know? When a child is growing up, he doesn't take these things too seriously. Unless he's really old in the mind while he's still young, you see. Well, I wasn't old in the mind when I was young. I was a normal teenager. Out there bebopping and doing the ballroom stuff. Teen Town, the Peps, they used to call it. Some of you old folks in here might remember the Peps. You remember those days? Teen Town and the Peps up there on 47th Street. Well, I was up there sliding around on the floor with my bad buckskin jacket and silk white shirt. Didn't have no money, but I had enough to get that just for that one occasion to impress those young girls, you know. Smooth, man. I was smooth. To the predictions, you know. They were just predictions to me, just like everything else in the lesson. And really, I couldn't see nothing that great in me. So I just passed it on by. I said, well, it just named me a good name for a son, you know. I just thought it gave me a name. I was happy to know. Somebody had to be named after Master Ross. My brother, Captain Chief Captain Elijah Muhammad, named after Elijah Muhammad, the father. So I said, well, the next one, named after Master Farrar, the founder. See, I thought it was just being handled like that. I never took it too seriously. Although I was told it in a serious way. And believe me, my mother was dead serious. When she talked about me, her whole expression changed. She didn't play, man. She was serious. She really took care of me. She was dutiful. She did the best she could for me until she passed. And I thank Allah for her. She's a great woman. Master Farrar, he knew that by giving me the name, it would be a living juror in the house of the leader, working on the family, making the family give this child a special respect, a special kind of respect. And they did. Even as a child, they didn't treat me like they did each other. They treated me as special. So I grew up, and finally I came into the ministry. It was predicted. The prediction was working in my mind. I wanted to be a believe it or not, I'm saying to tell you some of the things I wanted to be. I used to think I could sing, turn the bathtub water on real hot to drown out the flaws in my voice. And man, I thought I was really singing, you know. Pitching myself on radio, wasn't no TV back there in those days. There were some other things too that I won't mention. They wasn't as old worse than that. Not much worse than that. But I had other desires. I wanted to be an electronic man. I even asked my father, in fact, got him to have a man come over from the, I think it was called the, what is that school? Something. The Fry, School of Electronics. Came over. We were living on 61st and Michigan, 6116 South Michigan. The man came over, talked to me. But when the man started talking, I saw my father was just dead to jive at me. I believed him until that man started talking, and I saw that he was listening, but wasn't acting. He started coming up with every excuse. Well, thinking about this, son, so pretty soon you're going to be drafted. Before you can complete the course, they're going to be at you. So right away, I knew that he wasn't ready for me to take that course. I said, well, maybe Pop's money is short or something. I don't know what the problem is, but I ain't going to bother. So I told him, okay, Daddy. Another thing about me, I wasn't one to just contend with you. If you just say something or if I sense that you've decided, that's the end of it. I ain't going to keep bothering you. There's another problem we have. All people have this problem, but we as Galileans, we got it worse than any people on the face of earth. We just can't come to a conclusion. Just nag the hell out of each other. Just grumble and complain and fussing and fussing. Well, what did you do yesterday? Well, what did you do last year? Well, do you remember 50 years ago what you did? Explain that. Yeah, okay, you explain that, but what about what your grandfather did? And man, we stay on this until the grave give it up. All right, so I didn't go into electronics. I went to Dunbar High School, night school, for a little while, took radio. But I didn't get into my course that I wanted. Finally, I got into the ministry. You know how I got into ministry? A friend of mine. I was so shy. You see these shy boys that think they look good but don't want to admit it, you know? They never want to admit to themselves that I think I look good. In their own mind, they're saying, I don't think I'm good, I look good. But they really think they look good, you know. Well, I was that kind of child, teenager. And really, I couldn't back up anything. If girl really responds quick to what I was putting down, oh man, I just go in a cold sweat. I was so shy, but as long as she was running, I was bold, man. Hey, girl, what's the matter with you? Come here. Well, you let her start coming. If she came right on, I'm telling you, I start freaking out in a cold sweat. So it was hard for me to come up before the people and speak. I was shy as the audience. One night, Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, the minister, Minister James, still here. Where's Minister James? There he is. Minister James over there. And look as young as he did then, almost, too. Still looking almost as young as he did back then. Leroy went up. And Leroy told me, I'm going up tonight, man. I'm going up to talk. I'm going to teach tonight. Anybody could get a chance to get up and talk. And if you were good, most likely you'd use you more, and pretty soon you're on the roster, you know. Leroy went up and talked. And he did it so easy. It didn't look like he was having any problem. I said, dang, let this chump do this to me. I ain't gonna have him looking at me and worrying, because he was one of those Delalius students who were worrying you to death. Never get off the subject. And I knew he'd be bothering me for now on from the rest until I did go up. He was going to aggravate me. But I ain't going to have so much joy. And really, I had to force myself. My legs looked like getting dead on me. You know what fear can do to you, don't you? The legs look like they would start dying on me, you know? That shows you that mine is all that, ain't it? Now, wasn't nothing wrong with my legs. I could have got up there and bebop or anything else. But to get up there and talk to the people, those legs look like they start dying on me. Hands start feeling funny. Blood all stiff in my hands. Good God Almighty. I finally made it up there all stiff and funny looking. But something happened that night. Almighty God Allah told me that there was something for me to talk about. And I told him, first time I ever talked, I told him, I said, you all got it all wrong. That was way back there when I was a teenager. I think I was about 19 years old, maybe. Brother Minister, how old was I? About 19? Maybe about 18 or 19 when I started teaching, I think. That's right. I told him, I said, you all got it all wrong. And I saw that it was a big problem. I saw that we were too hung up on the devil. That we were losing too much of our valuable energy on the devil. Not that I loved them. I was out there punching them in the nose when I got a chance. That's right. You remember when the Emmett Till got killed? I'm telling you. I still put a hurting on a few of those soft cases. That's right. And not with my hand. I used some bricks. And I put a hurting on a few of those soft cases in those days. But I saw that, see, as I told you, I was a kind of new person. And I saw that we were putting too much of our energy into this talk on the Caucasian, the white man being the devil. Every minister that got up, his thing was to show you that the white man should be hated. Shouldn't have nothing to do with him, that he is the devil. Well, that's good. It don't take your whole life to do that. After you show them the devil, then do something about guiding them toward God. Well, I couldn't see that we were doing enough about getting our people to turn to Allah. And that was my mission that I stepped into. And still on it, same mission. Okay, let's keep on with this now. You see how the idea, when it was predicted, how it did move me to come into the ministry. It finally worked and brought me right into the ministry. How long did it take him to make devil? 600 years. He was engrafting devil or making him from the black man. What year was that? It was in the year 8400. Which means from the date of our present history, our Quran, about 2,600 years before the birth of Prophet Moses, or Musa. Musa is given to the message. What was the name of the place where he manufactured the devil? Answer, Pilar. The same that is called Patmos in the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9. Why is he now tying out this teaching in with the Revelation? So that we won't work just with his letter, but work also with the Bible. What, you see this here? Okay. Because the Bible is a key. One of the keys that is necessary for us to see exactly what does he mean by all these terms that he uses in the message. Pilar or Patmos. Now, where is Pilar or Patmos in the earth? A map, old map of the old world will show you Pilar in what came to be the Greek world. Where did Christianity get its start? You may say in Jerusalem. No, it didn't. Jesus said that he was rejected by his own. It didn't get its start in Jerusalem. A few people heard him and listened to him. But his own disciples, when he was accused and brought before Pilate, they denied him. The 12 disciples who sat at the table, when Jesus was finally accused and brought before the court to be tried, his own disciples turned their back on him. Peter's the one that the church now points to as the founder of the church after Jesus. Jesus founded, but he claimed that he founded it, but Peter established it. Is that right? That Peter that they trace their history back to, that disciple of Jesus. When he was questioned, he told the people he didn't know. Told to God, I don't know it. Is that right? This is the Bible. Now I know that the scripture Bible tells us that later on he said, and he really began to fight hard for Christ and the church. But what did he do when Jesus was facing the mighty test? When he was really needed, when his faith was really needed, he turned his back. Is that right? All right. If one of us would turn our back on our leader, when he was really before the crucial test, how many of us would later accept him? But see, your mind is not natural. The mind of a Christian in this Western society is unnatural. You accept anything that's in the Bible. Just because it's in the Bible, you accept it. You read in the Bible that a donkey preached a sermon and converted 1,000 souls. or that a mule played chess with a wise man and defeated him. You believe it because it's in the Bible. Yeah, man. What are you talking about? That mule didn't play the chess and beat that wise man. It's in the Bible, man. I show it to you right here, man. You see this nigga? Don't tell me it didn't happen. See it right here. Now, maybe you haven't ran into that, those people like that, but I have. All the time I ran into black folks that argue about things in the Bible, they don't have a bit of knowledge of. They ask a person knowing that if nobody knows what's in the Bible, they're going to say, no, man, it can't be. You believe so-and-so, man? No, man. That's just $10. It's right. Okay, nigga, you never resist it. Well, show me it's right. Here in the Bible, man, it says right here. See? God dog, man, I didn't know that was in the Bible. But he ain't gonna argue with it. Only a few of us. Once every now and then you run into one that'll say, I don't care what's in the Bible. There's a new generation. Now, I'm not talking about this new generation. Even this new generation, most of them out there go to them. Now, you tell them it's in the Bible, they don't argue with you. That's how come we use the Bible so much over here. Well, black folks are trained not to argue with the Bible. So he ties the story in with the revelation to show us where the connection is. Now, if you want to understand Master Farrar's teaching, you have to go to the Bible. Because his teachings came out of the Bible. Only a small portion of his teachings came straight from the Quran. Most of his teachings came straight from the Bible. Was he a Muslim or Christian? A Muslim. And a very, very good Muslim. But he saw that our problem was the Bible problem. And we were so wrapped up in the spiritual teachings of the church that we couldn't open our ears, our eyes, to see nothing from another religion. So he came to us in the guise or in the dress that we understood and accepted to first make friends with us. And then later introduce to you what is under the dress, the real person. All right. It's getting late, but we got to worry about it. So Elam or Patmos is in the land of the heathen, as it is called in the Bible. It was then heathen land. That heathen land was the land that became Christian land. Read the epistles of Paul and the teachings of Peter or the New Testament, and you'll see that their preaching went out of Jerusalem and went into the land of the Gentiles. The first church might have been in Jerusalem, but Christianity got its start in the land of the Gentiles. In fact, we don't even know of any such house, religious house, established by Jesus or by his original disciples called church. This came later, and it was Paul who did it, for the most part. So they preached to the Greeks and the Romans, and Christianity was established among the Greeks and the Romans. So where did they produce their church? Where did they bring their society into form? It was in the Isle of Philon. It was in Patmos. But we thought that that was way back there, before Moses. But that, brother and sister, happened
the grafting of the Gentile, the grafting that Master Barad is talking about, is not a grafting that happened back there,
before Moses.
It's a grafting that happened in among the Gentiles. You understand? Okay. But he was not wrong in using the Yaqub and in giving his history as a 6,000-year history. Why? Because this kind of grafting had already been done before. It hadn't been done on the Gentiles as a world of Gentiles, but it had been done on people that did not belong to Yaqub, by Yaqub. Now, we're going to get into that, but let's keep going. But as I described Cain and his generation as a baby Satan, the Yaqub in the earlier history of that 6,000 years was a baby Yaqub. The great Yaqub, the popular Yaqub, was that one who grafted his man among the Greeks. And he began his teaching in the Holy Land. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about those who stole Jesus' truth and twisted it into an instrument of the devil to build a kingdom of faith or for faith. Let's keep going. I don't know how you're taking this, but I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I got to tell you the truth. Don't worry, I'm a well-trained physician. I know not to just go on and operate for cleaning the wound, putting a little dentin' on the wound. It would take me a long time before I cut down into the quick. All right, now. So we have identified Pelon and Patmos now. Now let us go and read the next person here. They tell us the mental and physical power of a real devil. Answer. The mental power of a real devil is nothing in comparison to the original man. He only has 6 ounces of brain. But now remember here, we are not talking about physical brain. We are talking about mental power. We, being ignorant, made ignorant by this world, we thought Master Farad was talking about the physical brain. And there were some brothers who wished that they could find a dead Caucasian body laying around somewhere, and nobody was looking. They were going to cut his head open and get that brain and weigh it to see if Master Farad was right, you see. But he wasn't talking about the physical weight of the physical brain. He was talking about mental power. Mental power. How much power can a man have mentally? A man can have no more power mentally than he has knowledge. The knowledge he has is what gives him mental power. If his knowledge is corrupt knowledge, weak and corrupt knowledge, then his mental power is going to be weak and corrupt. Is that right? All right. If his knowledge is by nature physically based, understand what I'm saying. If his knowledge by nature of that knowledge, the composition of that knowledge, is physically based, it gravitates in the physical world. He supports it with physical terminology. Then that mental power is no more than the mental power of physical things.
Now, we have thought of the world, of the Christian world, as a spiritual world, haven't we? But let me tell you something, we've been wrong. This world is an artificial spiritual world. It's not a true spiritual world. America has been an artificial spiritual world. Real spirituality hasn't been in America. I'm talking about in America as a whole. There have been individuals who have been spiritual. But America as a nation, America as a society, the Bilalian community as a community. The Greek community or the Irish community or Italian community as a community. These communities haven't been spiritual communities. They have been artificially spiritual. Now, isn't the truth in the eating of the pudding? If this was a real spiritual society, then we would see more spiritual manifestations in this society than we do physical manifestations. Have this society had a history for treating each other as spiritual people? They have had a history for treating each other as physical objects. Why, they would burn a black man just as easy as they would burn a piece of dead wood. Is that right? All right. Sex. All sex. Nothing but sex. Woman's body. Man's body. Is that right? Jimmy. Teddy. Sitting down at the table with all of his senior. With his degree. Teddy on how he's going to rob you. Of your community tomorrow. How is going to rob you of your rights to your community tomorrow? I'm talking about the history of America, Christian America. Violence, physical sins and corruption, sex. These are the things that have filled the society of the world of America. Am I right or wrong? So if America was really a true spiritual people, we wouldn't see the manifestation of spiritual lust and greed and materialism filling the atmosphere and dominating everything else in this so-called world of righteousness of Christians. That's why the old witnesses and many other Christian groups, they don't even call themselves, identify themselves with the world of Christian people. They say they're Christian doom and they're Christian. We don't belong to Christian doom, we belong to Christians. Told you that even Christian people got so ashamed of their world that they didn't want to identify with it. Call their world Christian doom. We're the Christian. And believe me, those Jehovah's Witnesses, they're kind of slick and cunning like Master Farad. That doom at the end of that means just what it says. They don't mean Christian doom. They mean Christian doom. They meant the world, that fake world of Christianity, that's doom. And they see themselves as a true Christian, Jehovah's Witness. And there are other small bodies of religious people, Christian people, who think the same way. They think for the majority of Christians are true advocates of faith. And that only a small number are really Christians. And when you look at the works out here in the society, you have to admit that there's a lot of truth to what they say. So he was not talking about the physical brain. He's talking about the mental power. And mental power does not come from physical flesh. Mental power comes from knowledge. Do you understand? Your head may be a size 8. That don't mean that you're going to be wise. You may be the biggest fool in your class. But if you have the knowledge, that's what counts. And your knowledge can only grow as big as the world that your mind is put in to feed on. Does that make sense? I don't care how great of, how strong your brain is, how much potential is in that brain. As long as that brain have no other environment to grow in than the one that is before it, the world. And it feeds on that environment, it cannot grow any bigger than that environment. The only way that man's mind can grow bigger than that environment, it has to come in touch with another world, with another
in the old world that once contained it. Does that make sense? I hope it does, because it's very important in your mind to think that way. Some of you don't want to leave the small world that you're in. You're keeping your mind at a standstill. Tell us the exact date of the expiration of the devil's civilization. Now, he didn't personally give this make no guess at it. Tell us the exact date of the expiration of the devil's civilization. Because here's something else that was very important for you to accept and believe. It's very important that you believe those that he was teaching, bringing together to build this new world. It's very important that they believe as fact the doom of this world. So he says in the answer, a very short answer, again using the power in his wisdom to get the results he wanted. He asked the question as though the very date is known. Then he gives an answer right to the point in the fewest words to make it seem more convincing. See, if he had given a long answer, that'd give you time to forget about when you condition the mind for something. The preconditioning will wear off if you give a long answer. But if you give a short answer, the preconditioning is still there working, you see. So he used the preconditioning, and then he gives a short answer so that you get the answer while the condition is still there strong on your mind. Expire in 19 and 14. That's all. See? No big sentence. Expired in 19 and 14. That's the answer. So we who were then in the 1930s, oh, we felt great, man. This world is Caucasian. America's time is on, man. Hey, brother, come on to the temple. Don't you know America's day is over? The man, America's day was that time to rule the world was up in 1914. I'm telling you what you would hear in the streets of Detroit and Chicago in the early 30s. From many brothers who are right around here now who went out there in the streets and did that. My brother, he's old enough, he said he was one of them, and he was. And there's another one, my Uncle John, back there, he was one of them, too. They told him the time of this world was up, right? That they just hanging around all our time. Earth belongs to the black man. This is what it took to get the best material in. See, the best material for this new world wasn't the kind of people who would question this. The kind of people who would question this was the material of all worlds. But those who were rejected were told outcast, found no place in the old world. They couldn't find any place in the schools of America. They couldn't find any place in the business society of America, in the elite society, not even in the church that the first followers have any real place. They were just common, out-of-doors, black people. They didn't have a place with anybody. They were just working from day to day. They believed, though. They didn't have enough money to dress up and go to no church. Most of them didn't go to church. One, because they weren't Christians. It was because they didn't have enough money to dress decent enough to go to church. Because you know black people don't believe in going to church looking ragged and ugly and poor, right? All right. So the best material for building Master Farrar's new world came to him. They were the right ones for him. They were more ready to grab the bait. Because they didn't have any place in the world. They had nothing to defend. A man who has a place in the education world, he has something to defend. Man who has a place in the entertainment world, he got something to defend. But the first followers that Master Ron got, they had nothing, brother and sister. Very few of them had a little education. And those few, maybe one out of many how to write. So they were taught penmanship and arithmetic and simple reading. But along with that, they were getting the most powerful message or teaching that any social reformer on the ordinary level had ever come up with. That was the teachings of Master W. F. Muhammad. Now let's keep moving. I told you were going to be here for a while, so I know you're tired, but I got to keep on. And some things you can't rush, brothers and sisters. If you rush, you leave a job half done. Some things have to soak in. Can't just pour the water over. If you don't do it like you do in a church, dip you down 1, 2, 3, and tell you your faith. We dip you down 3 times, all right. But that's over a long period of time. And can you reform, devil? Answer, no. All the prophets have tried to reform him, but were unable. It didn't say all the prophets have tried to reform them. All the prophets have tried to reform him, but were unable. So they have agreed that it cannot be done unless we grasp him. Didn't they grasp them? Unless we grasp him back to the original man, which takes 600 years. So instead of losing time grasping him back, they have decided to take him off the planet. All right now, who is this him? Why are you speaking of him in the singular? Because here the real devil is identified. It's not the individual bodies that's walking around. It's that mentality. That graphic mentality has to be killed. We can't save it. We can't reform it. To reform that mentality, it takes 600 years. You have to grasp him from the white to the brown and finally to the black. What does this mean? It means first, you have to take him out of the white mentality that he has. And it'll take you a long time just to take him out of the white mentality. After you take him out of the white mentality, then you're going to have to bring him to the brown. You're not finished yet. The browns also have a brown mentality. They think they're better than the blacks.